Thank you for listening to Pardes from Jerusalem, the weekly Parsha podcast from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, visit www.almad.pardes.org.
We're approaching the festival of Chanukah. Very exciting. Very excited next week to be lighting the Chanukiah, as we call it here, and sitting with the family around the lights. But I'd like to try and talk a little bit about the festival of Chanukah and its origins. Of course, we all have learned the story that the Maccabim, the Maccabees, fought against the Greeks. They fought for independence. They fought for religious independence. And when they came to dedicate the temple, the whole temple had been defiled. And they found they wanted to light the menorah, they wanted to light the temple candelabra, but there was only a small amount of oil, which was pure, and the oil lasted for 8 days. And this is the story we've been learning and telling since we were in kindergarten. But the fascinating thing is that when we look in some of the sources, we see the story is more complicated, and that's what I would like to go into some of the historical sources of Chanukah and actually read a very different story. But maybe I'll start with some of our ritual pieces, which seem to focus not on the menorah, not on the candelabra of the Beit HaMikdash of the temple, but rather on a different one of the temple vessels, and that is the Mizbeach, the altar. If you remember, if you do sing the song Ma'os Sur at home, you'll remember how we sing, Azegmor Bashir Mizmor Chanukat HaMizbeach. Chanukat HaMizbeach. Then we will sing with a happy song, the Chanukat HaMizbeach, the Chanukah of the Mizbeach. That means the dedication of the altar. Very interesting. Are we dedicating the menorah, or are we dedicating the altar? Likewise, for any of you who attend synagogue services, morning services during Chanukah, you will know that every single day of Chanukah, we read the Torah. And what do we read? We read a passage from Bamidbar, from the book of Numbers, chapter 7, which is, Vahi biyom kalot Moshe lahakim et hamishkan. It talks about the dedication of the sanctuary in the time of Moshe, in the time of the wilderness. And it talks about Zot Chanukat HaMizbeach. This is the dedication of the altar. It describes the sacrifices and gifts which are brought by the princes of every single tribe in order to dedicate the temple altar. Back when, in the time of the wilderness, when the tabernacle was instituted for the first time. And this suddenly dawned on me a few years ago that our Torah reading, and in fact the text of Ma'os Sur, talks about the Chanukat HaMizbeach. Chanukah is not of the menorah, it's about the temple altar. So what exactly is going on here? Why is the focus on the altar? And in order to understand this, we have to open up the Book of the Maccabees, which is a historical book written by a Greek Jew. Jew who maybe lived in Alexandria, Egyptian Jew under Greek influence, who tells the story of the Maccabean Revolt. Before he tells the story of the Maccabean Revolt, he tells the story of the Greek persecution of the Jews. And I'm just going to read a few segments of the Book of the Maccabees. He talks about how Antiochus went up to Jerusalem with a great multitude. He proudly entered the sanctuary, took away the golden altar and the menorah and all the vessels thereof. Later on, he took the silver and gold and precious vessels. But now listen to this. He made a great slaughter of men. On the 15th of the month of Kislev, this is from the Book of the Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 57. On the 15th day of the month of Kislev, in the 145th year of the King Antiochus, he set up an abominable idol of desolation upon the altar of God. And on the 25th day of the month, they sacrificed upon the altar of the idol that was over against the altar of God. In other words, a pagan altar is erected on the altar of God in the temple of Jerusalem. And it seems like they've already got it prepared on the 15th month of Kislev, but they wait until the 25th of Kislev to desecrate the altar with pagan sacrifices. And this already makes us wonder whether there is something special about this date, the 25th of Kislev, which was chosen by the Greeks in order to desecrate the temple. Notice the thing that they particularly desecrate is the altar where you bring the sacrifices. That's the focus of any temple. I have to say that when I was in, I don't know, I think my earliest school, my kindergarten or elementary school, they always taught us that Chanukah stands for Chanu Kaf He, that the Maccabees rested on the 25th. On the 25th, they rested from battle, and that was when they had vanquished the Greeks and burst through into the temple, and then they could rest on the 25th. Of course, Chanukah is the 25th of Kislev. This year it also falls on the 25th of December. And that was, the 25th of Kislev was the day the war ended. We're going to learn something differently. By the way, this act of Antiochus, of desecrating the altar, is only part of a wider set of decrees. For example, he banned circumcision. Reading in the next verses in the book of Maccabees, it says, the women that circumcised their children were slain according to the commandment of King Antiochus. He hanged their children about their necks in all their houses. And many of the people of Israel, determined with themselves that they would not eat unclean things, chose to die rather than to eat non-kosher meat. And they would not break the holy law of God, and they were put to death. In other words, there is a widespread, in addition to the desecration of the temple, there is widespread persecution of Jews, which involves trying to break their religious commitments, trying to ban circumcision, trying to force Jews to eat, to abrogate their commitment to kashrut and other practices. Now, this date of the 25th comes in later on as well, because when you read the book of the Maccabees, chapter 4 suggests that the Maccabees actually waited for this same date, the 25th of Kislev, to dedicate the temple altar. I'll read to you from the fourth chapter of Maccabees. Judah HaMaccabee. Judah and his brother says, now that our enemies have been defeated, let's go to Jerusalem and purify the temple and rededicate it. Word for dedication is Chanukah. So the whole army was assembled and went up to Mount Zion, and there they found the temple abandoned and the altar profaned and the gates burned down and the courtyards grown with a forest of weeds. And they tore their clothes and cried loudly and threw ashes on their heads. And then what did they do? He chose some priests who were qualified and who were devoted to the law. They purified the temple. They took the stones that had been defiled and put them in an unclean place. And they tore down the pagan altar. They took uncut stones as the law of Moses required, built a new altar like the old one. They repaired the temple. They made new utensils for worship. They brought the lampstand, the menorah, the altar of incense, and the table for the bread. In other words, they put together the whole temple again. They burnt incense on the altar, and they lit the lamps on the lampstand. They lit the menorah, just like the tradition says, and there was a light in the temple. They placed the loaves of bread on the table. They hung the curtains and completed all their work. What's the date? It doesn't tell us. But then it says, on the 25th day of the ninth month, the month of Kislev, which was the anniversary of the day that the Gentiles had desecrated the altar, On that day, the sacrifice was offered on the new altar in accordance with the law of Moses. The new altar was dedicated. The hymns were sung with the accompaniment of harps and lutes and cymbals, and all the people bowed down with their faces to the ground and worshipped and praised the Lord for giving them victory. Now, this raises a serious number of questions and challenges our traditional reading of Chanukah. The question is, of course, if this is true, and that the 25th of Kislev is the dedication of the altar, not the menorah, then why did they celebrate for 8 days? Why did they wait until the 25th of Kislev, both the Greeks and the Maccabees? It seemed like they already had lit the menorah they had had time to bake bread in purity for the shulchan, for the table in the altar. So why did they wait for the 25th of Kislev? And here I think we have to go back to understand why 8 days. You see, in the time of the Mishkan, when they dedicated the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the wilderness, there were 8 days of dedication. You can take a look in the book of Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, chapter 8 and 9. 8 days of dedication by He Bayom HaShmini. In the same way, King Solomon has an 8-day celebration of the dedication of the temple. In fact, with King Solomon, it coincides and dovetails with the festival of Sukkot. In fact, the book of Divrei HaYamim says this. In Chronicles it says, Solomon observed a festival at that time for 7 days with all Israel with him, and on the 8th day they held an assembly for the dedication of the altar. So in other words, it seems like the altar was dedicated through an 8-day ceremony. Moreover, if one opens the book of Haggai, the book of Haggai, which is the second temple book, describes how the returnees from Babylon, when they were building the second temple, were having a lot of trouble getting the second temple rebuilt. There was a lack of enthusiasm, a lack of funds. And in fact, when they do eventually build it, on the 24th of Kislev, Haggai, the prophet Haggai, issues a encouraging prophecy, and on the 24th of Kislev, and he says, "Today I'm giving this before you have put a stone upon a stone in the sanctuary of God." It seems evident that in Second Temple times, the 25th of Kislev was it was the anniversary of the founding of the temple. It was the date on which the temple was initiated, where the building began, and it seems to be a date that was publicly marked. It seems like the Greeks chose to use that day, the day of the anniversary of the temple, in order to offer pagan idols on the altar. That's the day they chose to desecrate it, the 25th of Kislev. And it's the selfsame day that the Maccabees decided to reverse the desecration of the temple with an 8-day festival. And it would actually seem that this focus on the altar, maybe even more than the menorah, is the backdrop to Chanukah. And therefore we talk about Chanukat HaMizbeach, the dedication of the altar. Our Kriyat HaTorah, our Torah reading, is about dedication of the altar. And in fact, the dedication of the altar and the resumption of the Korban Tamid, the daily sacrifice, seems to have been the critical ingredient that the Maccabees were shooting for, that in order to resume the centerpiece of the daily sacrifice in the temple. And that was the big celebration. Why an 8-day celebration? Because you always dedicate the temple with an 8-day celebration. In fact, other passages in Sefer HaMakabim, in the book of the Maccabees, say that that year they had been unable to dedicate, to celebrate the festival of Sukkot in the temple, and therefore the 8 days sort of doubled up, just like they did in Solomon's time, as an 8-day celebration of the temple, and a sort of like recompense, a sort of like second Sukkot, 8 days of celebration. Indeed, a Sukkot, we say Hallel for 8 days, and likewise here, we say Hallel for 8 days, we recite the Hallel prayer, almost in a reflection or a sort of recreation of Sukkot at a different time of year. So this goes to the background of why we talk about in Ma'asur Chanukat HaMizbeach and what the Book of the Maccabees tells us. But now you're going to say to me, what happened to the miracle of the oil? What is the miracle of the oil all about? So first of all, I'm not denying the miracle of the oil. Just the Book of the Maccabees doesn't relate to it. And it could well be that the miracle of the oil indeed happened. It might well be that when they came to the temple, they had to first tear down the altar and build a new altar, and that took some time. But maybe the first thing they tried to do was to come into the temple, and indeed maybe they found that cruse of oil, and maybe it did last for 8 days. And maybe they saw this as a sign of their success. And if this is part of our tradition, then you know, we can certainly bring that tradition, tell our children about it. I don't see any problem with it. But I would like to maybe suggest a different explanation for why the focus moved. The focus moved from the altar to the Chanukiah, to the menorah. And I think we might explain it in the following way. The Maccabim were looking not just to celebrate in the temple itself, but in order to bring Chanukah into people's homes. Later on, when the Talmud is written, the way the mitzvah of the way the command of lighting the Chanukiah is described is ner ish ubeito. Each person should have a candle in their home. And it's connected to the house. In fact, the Talmud goes to great length to explain that one should actually put the Chanukah candles right next to the door of your house, Nerish Rebeito, and it should be connected to your house. It should be connected to, then the question is, should it be actually at the doorway of your house or at the doorway of your courtyard? And if you have a courtyard with two entrances, maybe put two Chanukiyot, one by one courtyard entrance and one by the other courtyard entrance. My son this year is in the Israeli military. He's in the army. And next week over Chanukah, they're going to be training out in the field. And my son asked me indeed the question, am I allowed to light the Chanukah candles with a bracha, with a blessing, if I don't have a house? We're going to be moving from place to place. We're going to be on a sort of like a rolling mission without a house. Can you even light the Chanukah candles? Chanukah is always connected to a house. I think in more recent times it's Chabad who have brought the Chanukiah into village squares and into public spaces. But traditionally, the only place you light is in your home and in the synagogue, which is like the temple. So that's the way the halakha expresses it. In fact, many halachic authorities have questioned whether you can even say the blessing on the Chanukiah if it is lit, not in a home. So the rabbis, when they instituted Chanukah, wanted to bring it into the home. Now, of course, in the home, you cannot bring sacrifices. There's only one place to bring sacrifices, and that's the temple. So how do you institute a practice that can be done in the home, which celebrates the notion of eight? Where do you come up with 8 days of celebration? And this is where it seems to be they invented not the menorah, because the menorah has only six candles and a central candle, and ours has eight. They took these 8 days of celebration and said, well, you know what, let's not only do it in the temple, let's light a candle for each day of celebration. Or, in fact, the way we do it now is one candle on the first, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Again, it's very interesting that Beit Shammai's opinion, Hillel says we should light one on the first day, two on the second, three on the third, etc. But Shammai said we should actually light 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we should actually light one on the last day. And when asked why, they say, because that was the way that they brought the sacrifices on Sukkot. In other words, our lighting at home should sort of emulate what? The altar of God in the temple. It should emulate the altar. The Chanukiah, the menorah in the house, is actually not an emulation of the menorah in the Bet Mikdash, but it's an emulation of the altar in some way. Now, you might say to me, but that sounds all wrong. And I would like to, again, go back to the book of the Maccabees, this time the second book of the Maccabees, and explain how all of these traditions somehow overlap. In the second book of the Maccabees, they go back to the very beginnings of the Second Temple period. The Second Temple period begins with the return from Babylon, the rebuilding of the temple in the time of Darius, and later on the arrival of Ezra and Nehemiah. And there it gives us a different explanation of why we light fire, or why we're connected to oil. Oil in our latkes, oil in our donuts, oil in our lamps, on the festival of Chanukah. And it says there, in the beginning of the second book of of the Maccabees, it says, on the 25th day of the month of Kislev, we celebrate the festival of Chanukah. Mentions it. Just like we celebrate the festival of Sukkot. Interesting. And then it says, well, why do we do this? And they tell an amazing tale. They say that when Nehemiah came back to Jerusalem, he came back to the temple and the altar. And he asked them, where is the light of the altar? Where is the fire of the altar that was hidden away before the temple was destroyed? And they didn't know what he was talking about. And he said, Nehemiah told them that in fact, before the temple had been destroyed, a few devout priests had hidden some fire from the altar and hidden it at the bottom of a cistern. The book tells us that they had hidden the fire so well that nobody discovered it. Nehemiah comes back to Jerusalem and looks for it and can find no fire, but he does find some oil from the fire. I assume however much oil they'd put there, it had burnt out, but he found some of the residue of the oil. And Nehemiah told them to scoop it up and bring it with him. And what they did was they put sacrifices on the temple and on the temple altar, and they poured the oil over the wood and the sacrifice. And the book of Nehemiah then reports that after this was done, everything from the altar burst into flames, and everyone looked on in amazement. This story is remarkable because I think it reflects so beautifully our legend of Hanukkah. What does the legend of Hanukkah say? It says that people have tried to interrupt the smooth running of the temple, tried to interrupt the smooth observance of Judaism in our homes. And what did we do? We fought back tooth and nail, and we only found a little bit, but we managed to make that little bit of oil continue for 8 days until we could continue until we could resume the normality of a routine of our Judaism. What's amazing is that there's a whole series of legends which go like this. Moses dedicated the first temple, the Mishkan, in 8 days. Solomon dedicated the actual temple, the first temple, in 8 days. They wanted to continue the continuity with the second temple. They couldn't find any the fire to light the altar. But indeed, Nehemiah finds a little bit of oil, and that rekindles the light of the altar. Then again, the book of the Maccabees tell us that they came to the temple to rededicate the altar, another 8-day festival. How do we, if you want, recreate this in our houses? We take a candelabra with 8 lights and we say, we are kindling the light of the altar every single day for 8 days. We are going to continue that which has been disrupted, that has been interrupted, and this is what we do. I know this is sort of a new take on Hanukkah, but it relates back to the reason why I love it is because if you think that Hanukkah is all about the miracle of the oil and the miracle of the candelabra, it has a certain continuity with Jewish tradition, but of course the Hanukkiah looks very different to the temple menorah. But in this way we understand how the rituals of Hanukkah are actually trying to connect us back to Moshe, to Moses, back to Solomon, back to Nehemiah, back to the Maccabees. And what we're really saying is that in a new guise, in a new way, we are continuing to light the lights. We are continuing to light the altar. We are finding a way to actually bring the temple into our homes during this time. One of the things that I like to do when we sit around the Hanukkah candles after we sing, and in fact in my house we try and sing and dance a little bit. We sing Al Hanisim, we sing Ma'osor and other songs at this time, is also to try and also learn some Torah, because there is a tradition that Torah zu ora, Torah is also light. And I try and use that time not only to share gifts and, you know, sufganiyot, donuts with the family, but also to try and share a little bit of Torah with the family, and therefore bring the light of Torah together with the light of the Hanukkah candles. So maybe that's something that I can recommend to some of you. Take out a book with some Torah ideas of Hanukkah, take out of your laptop and try and look something up, and share a little bit of Torah with the family, and really make it into a special moment of family, of song, of sweet foods, and of spiritual enlightenment. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you for listening to Pardes from Jerusalem, the weekly Parsha podcast from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, visit www.elmad.pardes.org.